For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And Frank Reich is the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers. There's a Carolina Panthers connection there. He was their first quarterback for the Carolina Panthers back in 1995. I'm sure by now you've all seen that photo of him holding up his Frank Reich jersey with, I don't even know, it was like in a basement of someplace back in 1995 or whatever that was. But regardless, the news of the day is that the Carolina Panthers have gone with Frank Reich. Unleashed are the takes. So he was with Philadelphia, part of that Super Bowl run. He ends up in Indianapolis as the head coach. Andrew Luck retires. He falls in love, or has been in love, with Carson Wentz, so he brings him over. That experiment fails. And then they went through a string of QBs, young and old, and he ends up getting fired by Jim Irsay, Colts owner, five games in the season, or however many games that was in the season, to elevate Jeff Saturday, of all things, to the interim coach out of nowhere, plucked him out of an ESPN booth. So there's a lot of context, Giglio, to why things did not work out in Indianapolis. There's a lot of context as to why Frank Reich, an offensive-minded guy, but an older coach who's been around the block, is the decision that Tepper would go with, because the Panthers have never had an offensive-minded coach, unless you want to go all the way back to like George Seifert days, but that didn't really work out. So there's a lot of context as to why this makes sense. But man, there's a lot of people that were hoping and understood and felt it was justified to hire Steve Wilks, who went 6-6 as an interim head coach for the Panthers.
What you earn and what you get are two different things.
Yep.
Lesson in life there. I'm sure one that Steve Wilks was already well aware of. I don't know if I would say Frank Reich was a success with the Colts. He was.
Yeah.
I wouldn't qualify that. 10-6, 7-9, 11-5, 9-8. Fired 8 games into this season, and there's a different quarterback. He had a different quarterback every year. He had an elderly Phillip Rivers. Mm-hmm. He had an elderly Matt Ryan. He had what he wanted in Carson Wentz, but couldn't rekindle that old magic. And he had 1 year with Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
Luck retires. So that's not the job you thought you walked
it's
into.
Not. No.
So I think he did remarkable work. They made the playoffs two of his first 4 years. And last year, when they missed the playoffs, you know, they were one of the most dangerous teams in the AFC last year, and they end up losing the wrong game because Wentz, quite frankly, wasn't good in week 17.
The Wentz portion of this is the one. It would be the one concern that I have for whoever the next coach of the Carolina Panthers was going to be. I think what Steve Wilks proved is that, and this is something that you've been banging the table throughout this season, and you've used Brian Daboll as an example of this with the Giants, and he's not the only one. There's countless examples of this. Look at Doug Peterson, right? A good coach, circumstances in Philadelphia went a little wiry there at the end. Ownership gets involved. Who's your quarterback going to be? Everything else. But you see where a good coach can come in and take a team that has talent to the playoffs. All right. And I think that's where the Carolina Panthers are. They almost won the division, a terrible division, but they almost did it with their hands tied behind their back through a variety of decisions being made that looked like a team that wasn't interested in winning, especially when it comes to trading away Christian McCaffrey, who's now with the San Francisco 49ers and a game away from making it to the Super Bowl. And there was attrition in the coaching ranks as well, whether it was guys leaving for other gigs or guys that Steve Wilks actually got out of there in the Matt Rhule exodus, okay? But the Panthers showed you under Steve Wilks going 6-6 is that there's a good core there. There's a lot to work with. It's a team that can win, but there's one position they absolutely have to get right in the next coming years, and that would be the obvious one, the quarterback position, which gets me back to Frank Reich. Sometimes coaches can get really enamored with a guy, and I can fix him. I can fix this guy. He had a bad situation played out. You know, injuries have besieged him. He's going to be healthy here. It's all going to work out. Obviously, that wasn't the case. He bet on Carson Wentz. Him and Chris Ballard bet on Carson Wentz. That did not cash in. But I'll give Frank Reich credit here. they understood in Indianapolis that he was not the answer, so they went ahead and they moved on. So maybe that's the lesson learned, that they're not going to find themselves enamored with somebody, and they'll truly approach the next quarterback in Carolina with an open mind, whether it comes to the draft or somebody like, you and I have talked about this, Derek Carr, who's not going to be coming back to the Las Vegas Raiders, who I think is clearly an upgrade over what they've had, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and P.J. Walker, right? And Matt Corral, I know he's in the system, but I don't see that panning out. So I do believe that Frank Reich has a track record of making the right call on a QB. We'll see if he can actually do it in Carolina.
I think it's a good hire. I also think if you're Steve Wilks, you look at this as a victim of circumstance, you know? Because offense has been, that is what drives the NFL now.
Yeah.
And getting the quarterback position right, being the right play caller is what drives the NFL now. I don't know what plan Steve Wilks presented to David Tepper in terms of who he would have calling the plays or in terms of how he would approach the quarterback situation. I do think you're right. In this offseason, there are more options available to not only the Panthers, but to a lot of different teams in the quarterback market this offseason. So there is some hope there that if they don't use the ninth pick to get a quarterback, they can at least put themselves in a position to address the situation for the first time since Cam Newton left.
I am completely understanding in the frustration that Panthers fans have that Steve Wilks was not named the head coach. And to your point, Julio, you know, doing things that get you to deserve the position do not necessarily mean you get what you deserve, okay? And you can justify it all you want. That's still not going to take away the sting that people feel today, and I understand why. The sting that people feel today that Steve Wilks was not named the head coach. I would have been fine with it. I think Steve Wilks is savvy enough to understand what is necessary to have won that job and come up with an offensive plan, but Tepper probably had his mind made up anyway that he wanted to go in a different direction and actually hire an offensive-minded coach. That's been the one thing that has rung true throughout this entire process ever since Matt Rhule got fired. The idea that he was going to go offensive-minded and he was going to go with a veteran head coach too, because if there's one consistency with NFL ownership, if you want to get an idea of where they're going to go after the coach they've fired, just look in the opposite direction. It's not all that different from college, right? I mean, we can use examples here in the Triangle for how they've gone about replacing the guys that they just fired, right? So, you know, we'll use NC State as an example, right? Tom O'Kane. Mike O'Kane. Why did I say Tom O'Kane? I'm like combining guys now. What's wrong with me? So,
like Frank Herbert.
Mike O'Kane, the head coach of the Wolfpack, was kicked out for the, I know you're completely losing it, for the personality and the recruiting of Chuck Amato, right? This guy was bringing a brand. And then at the end of the Chuck Amato era, even though he tried to get away from that behavior, the flashiness and things like that, the sunglasses and the boots and everything else, they bring in Tom O'Brien, who was the complete opposite of Chuck Amato. And then they bring in Dave Doran to replace, I got that name right, they replace Dave Doran they replace Tom O'Brien with Dave Doran, who was younger and recruiting minded and, you know, at the time was positioned as a guy with more of a personality. So it makes sense that you get this with the Panthers as well. They're going in the opposite direction of Matt Rhule, and they end up with a veteran head coach, former head coach, with a track record with quarterbacks to turn things around. But again, the Wilks portion of this is not resolved with today's news. In fact, the law firm that represents Brian Flores, who brought a lawsuit to the NFL for their hiring practices, tweeted this out upon the news that Frank Reich was getting the job. Quote, "We are shocked and disturbed that after the incredible job Coach Wilks did as the interim coach, including bringing the team back into the playoffs, or at least back into playoff contention, and garnering the support of the players and fans, that he was passed over for the head coach position by David Tepper. There is a legitimate race problem in the NFL, and we can assure you that we will have more to say in the coming days. I do think that this law firm is waiting to see how the rest of the hiring cycle plays out. I guarantee you that Steve Wilks and Brian Flores are probably texting each other going, come on, Jim Irsay, do it. Hire Jeff Saturday. Come on, Come on. You know you want to. I know the fans don't want it, but come on, Jim, do it. Because they're sitting here taking notes going, oh, all right. So this interim coach failed, but he gets the job. I actually succeeded. I don't get the job. Huh. That's kind of funny. What's the difference? So this is an unresolved portion of the coaching search for the Panthers. And I'll be curious, Gilio, to see how David Tepper handles that when he meets with the media, if he does, in the introduction of Frank Reich as head coach.
He's just so polished. I can't wait. You know it's going to be a sterling answer.
That's going to be good. That's going to be good.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete of Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, is it still true that a million is enough to retire on?
Tim, maybe and maybe not. The most important thing is to get a real plan that gives you income you never outlive. We'll give that away to the next 10 people. Call right now.
The number to call, 800-691-3215. Text TIM to 600-700 if you're interested in texting. Once again, that phone number is 800-691-3215 or text TIM to 600-700 for that deal.
So we're just about 3 weeks away from the stadium series at Carter-Finley Stadium. That's February 18th, not too far away. And it got to a point of frustration with Carolina Hurricanes fans that we hadn't seen the jerseys yet. Now, the jerseys have been floating around for like 3 years, because you got, or 2 years, I guess I should say. Because remember, the stadium series was supposed to take place in 2021, but you know, a little pandemic thing happened, so obviously it did not occur. So they pushed it back to this upcoming date on February 18th. I saw anecdotal listener reports that the jerseys occasionally would show up at a shop, and some people confused it with some sort of knockoff gear. They didn't know it was an actual jersey that the Canes were going to use, some sort of alternate. But it finally dropped last night, very nondescript on the Adidas website, Joe. Both the Canes Stadium Series jersey and the Washington Capitals Stadium Series jerseys went up for sale on Adidas last night. And the initial reaction has been ranging from, to, this is all we got? It could have been so much better. The Canes knew that whatever the jersey was going to be, you can't please everybody. But if you're watching on WREL Sports Plus right now, you can see both jerseys on our big screen. You're the jersey guy, Joe. You have strong opinions on jersey.
I do.
What do you think of these bad boys?
They're like a night vision, reverse retro, middle school badminton slapped together, you know?
So
maybe we'll splash a little bit of red and make the numbers a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
It's not fan, like the Capitals neckline is kind of fancy, nice mm-hmm. logo. The Canes just kind of looks like a late 2000s Tiger Woods. You know, I really don't feel like wearing a collar playing golf anymore. So, hey, can you make me a shirt that makes it, make me a shirt that doesn't have a collar but looks like a collar?
Yeah, yeah. A tab collar.
Yeah.
So,
not quite Nehru, but it's more like, it's just, here's the thing. Yeah. And as you love to tell me, the jerseys are not for me. They're for the kids. I already have a text message. It's my youngest son's birthday, February 7th.
Yeah.
He wants this piece of trash. He's 15.
Dude, they sold out a lot of sizes quick this morning.
Of course they did.
Real quick.
Of course they did.
Because I think people were going to buy them regardless because they want to be there for the game.
I think they're all sold out, actually.
Are they all sold out?
On Adidas' site, yes.
But if you look, just look at what the Penguins wore.
Yep.
When they were, the game at Fenway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
It was a capital P. There was like a nice classic type look to it.
So I'm
the
glad
Canes have never used a C,
yeah,
as our friend Luke Tacock famously called this Hurricane logo. This is the flushing toilet logo.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pietro Carmona so badly wanted something that looked like the Red Wings logo,
mm-hmm,
iconic logo,
mm-hmm,
that he came up with the flushing toilet.
All right, couple things. About the Winter Classic that we just saw and how you were enamored with those jerseys.
Those were great. That was a great look.
For context.
Clean look.
For context, there is a distinction in the NHL between what they do for the Winter Classic and what they do for the Stadium Series. If you look at these jerseys, they're eerily similar to the jerseys, you mentioned the Penguins, go back to 2019 when they had a Stadium Series game. and they had the futuristic thing with the helmets that were like, the numbers were like on the helmets, all plastered on one side and then the logo on the other side. And I want to say the same thing happened in 2020 as well. So if you look at the futuristic type take on the jersey for the stadium series, it tracks with what was supposed to happen in 2021.
When you try to explain the difference between the Winter Classic and the stadium series, yes. You know what that sounds like.
What
right?
does it sound like, Joe?
See, my song, here's their song, but my song, it's ding, 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 ding. Ding-a-ding-ding.
There's a difference.
I mean, there's clearly a difference.
There's a difference. The Winter Classic is a...
Winter Classic.
The Winter Classic.
The Stadium Series.
Winter Classic is a marquee event on New Year's Day that the NHL does, and the Stadium Series is something they do for fun elsewhere.
It's not the same sample. Ours goes ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-a-ding-ding.
Totally, yeah. That you don't hear it. You don't hear it. You don't see it. You don't hear it. It's, you know, it's like you're in a meeting and like
Gary Bettman galaxy brain right there.
Have you ever, you've, you and
oh,
I,
no, wait, this is for the stadium series. It's totally different.
Hey, you and I have been in meetings where an idea is brought up and then that idea is then repeated back to you. And it's like, well, no, you see, I said it like this. You said it like this.
Totally different.
Totally different idea. Okay. I added an element of this. Anyway, couple thoughts. So covered the futuristic look and all that stuff. To your point, you say it's like middle school. This is what I think of. Do you remember Rollerball?
Yeah.
The movie Rollerball with James Caan, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I thought of. Like, take me back to the 70s and somebody's thinking about what sports looks like in the future. This is what you get.
Tell me, future boy.
What is hockey like in 2023? And it's got all futuristic looks, you know? So there's that aspect, especially the number. Like, you see that 23
yes.
on the model, right? That reeks Rollerball to me. Other thought. Full pads with the helmet. Here's what saves it. This is where I'm going to give the Canes credit. Have you seen the Captain's C? Because they put a
yes.
video out today.
And that the Captain's C should have been the
should have been the main logo. Well, yeah. I have another thought, but anyway. The Captain's C on that jersey cleans it up. It makes it go, oh, okay.
But only one person wears the Captain C.
Well, that's the one that people want to buy.
You could have put the whole team in the Captain C.
I agree.
That jersey sold out on Canes Pro Shop, the stall jersey.
Oh, of course it did, because it's the best looking one because of the C and the little flags in it and everything else. To which gets to my larger point. And look, shout out to Dan over at the Canes. He knows how I feel about this. And because he was the one that actually helped bring this to light. You know how I feel about Thick Stormy. Thick with two C's, Stormy.
Yeah,
strutting wool, the strutting pig. All right, the strutting Stormy,
which they've created. Yeah,
which they created. I got a T-shirt. I might actually buy the sticker for my car too. In an ideal world, they would have slapped that bad boy for the jersey because it makes sense. You are playing an outdoor hockey game at Carter Finley Stadium, and you are mashing up the two teams that play on that property. The hockey team that plays in the building across from Carter Finley Stadium is walking across the plaza to play a hockey game in that building, and the strutting Stormy would have been fire. Straight freaking fire. I would buy every jersey in every size in that, okay? And maybe down the line they'll come up with an alternate that includes that. I know there's all sorts of rules and NHL rules and Adidas rules and licensing rules and things like that. And again, I understand that the Stadium Series event was supposed to take place back in 2021. And things have to keep on rolling. But in an ideal world, they could go back and do it, and the NHL would allow it. Strutting freaking Stormy on a jersey. I want it!
You know, we could make our own.
It's not the same, man.
Okay.
I guess we could make the same. Yes, Dennis.
Am I the only one that thinks the Caps jersey looks like Sam Wilson's Captain America uniform?
A little bit.
The white with the...
Yeah, no, I can see
the
that.
The way the wings come out with the blue in the chest.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, because the new Captain America's got a different color pattern. So, that makes sense. I can see that. I can definitely see that. One other thing to keep in mind, by the way, as it relates to the Carolina Hurricanes, because they seem to drop these things like overnight, right? From here until the game, pro tip, when you wake up in the morning and you're waiting for your coffee to brew, open up Ticketmaster and look at the Stadium Series tickets. Because we're at the point now where the NHL is releasing tickets, all right? Corporate sponsor holds, all that kind of stuff. People have been wondering why there's only so much that's been sold to the public after the season ticket sales and everything else, right? Well, because the NHL holds a lot of those tickets for a variety of reasons. And as we get closer to the event, a lot of those holds are going to be released. For instance, this morning, I want to say they released about 1,000 tickets. Now, that's the good news. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. These are dynamically priced, meaning that you can get a standard ticket. And as I looked this morning when they still had standard tickets available, the get-in price, I think, was $325. That was the get-in price. Those are upper-level seats, $325.
Let's be clear. There is no such thing as a good seat for this game.
I disagree. I disagree.
The ice is in the middle. If you're in the building, that's what you want. You want to be at the event. It's about the experience of being there.
I'm with you on that.
And at Carter-Finley Stadium, there's no bad seats for football.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But for hockey, you're just not going to be able to see that much as much as you want to
anyway. I have one seat or one section that's the best to watch that game, and that is first row
upper deck.
That's the best seat in the house.
And those are going for probably $600-$800.
Probably, yeah.
Yes.
But if you want the best seat in the house, that's it. Because even sitting up in the press box in one of the suites in the Dale Center, Because it's Vaughn Towers is. You can't hear anything. That's no fun. Could they bring back the double wide in the sky? Open up the windows? That'd be great. But no, that's never going to happen. So that's the best seat in the house. But anyway, long story short, look in the mornings, because the NHL is getting around to releasing tickets, as I can tell, as I saw this morning. Ain't going to be cheap, but hey, y'all want tickets. It's probably the best way to go about it.
Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.